You know, it is confusing, difficult, and sad when someone's doing doesn't match their being. Now, that statement flows from something that we saw last week when Moses asked God what his name is. And for those of you who were here or certainly are familiar with that passage, you probably remember what God's answer was. He says, I am what I am, or I am that I am, rather. Tell them I am sent you. We saw that God defines himself by his being, who he is, and then anything that he does flows from that. Now, I really don't like the fact that I was right about my comments about Aaron Rodgers' performance last week. I mean, talk about someone's doing not matching their being. I mean, to have him go from a quarterback rating of in the 120s to 80s for that game, I tell you, it was very confusing, difficult, and sad. At least for me, Spencer, and Paul. But I was afraid that would happen, because basically pressure does that to athletes. It does that to people. Now, to coin a phrase from Rick Bringhurst, I say all that to say this. As we move into Exodus 4, we're going to see Moses questioning himself into relation to what God is calling him to do, effectively asking him to allow his doing to be reflective of his being and the God that is with him. And so basically, Moses is going to say, I understand you're going to be with me, but I still don't think I can do what you're asking me to do. And I think that sounds very familiar to us. I think there are times that we face God and say, God, are you sure? Do you mean to pick me? Is there someone else you can send? And it's really going to give us a chance to look at those things that make it hard for our doing to match our being. So as you make your way to Exodus 4, if you're not already there, something we do have to understand is that the change that God makes in us as believers in Jesus Christ is far more substantive than what he's doing for Moses. I mean, effectively, God is with Moses, but he is in us. When you consider the relationship that God had with Old Testament saints, really, God is moving and empowering his humanity, his old nature, even, if you will. Whereas with us, God gives us a new nature. So ultimately, when we think of our doing matching our being, we may have the same struggles as Moses has, but we have less of an excuse. Because ultimately, the people that God has made us through Christ is far more significant than what he's doing with Moses. But let's consider, again, what Moses is struggling with as we read the first 9 verses of Exodus chapter 4. It says, Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you? That's the Israelite elders that he's referring to there. Then the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it down on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground, it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took a hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Then the Lord said, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand in his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous like snow. Now put it back in your cloak, he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, if they do not believe you or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, then they will believe the second. But if they do not believe these 2 signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground. So basically, Moses' first concern here is, what are people going to think? I think it's really a huge factor when we're considering, again, this whole question of, is our doing going to match our being? I think, in fact, this may be the biggest stumbling block, the biggest thing that kind of stands in our way to actually do what our nature calls us to do, what the Holy Spirit, if you will, is leading us to do. I mean, just think of the times in your own life when, you know, you know what the right thing to do is, or you know what the right thing not to do is, or you feel the Holy Spirit prompting, or you feel like you should say something or not say something else. And rather than doing what God would have you to do, rather than going what's resonating in your internal being from the new nature, you do what makes people comfortable. You do what's consistent with them and being liked by them, rather than following what God would have for you to do. And why is that? Why is it such a struggle for us to do something that God would have to do that runs inconsistent with what people think or what they want or what they expect from us? I think on one hand, it is a good thing. I mean, for us to care about people, for us to be aware of how we affect them, to worry about the fact that we're kind to them or that they're happy. I mean, that's being sensitive in a right way. But the negative side of that, the bad side of that, is when we're sensitive about how they're going to affect us, where we're ultimately we care about them to the point where we actually put them above God's will, that we put them above what God would ultimately ask us to be. And when we are compromising who we are for the sake of other people, see, even the world says that's not good. I mean, there's even like a thought in society, well, don't let other people determine who you are, be the person that you are, and so on and so forth. Well, that's even more significant for us as believers, because who we are is, again, what is ordained by God, what is motivated and empowered by God. So even more significant in terms of us facing the world, facing people, and saying, I'm going to be who God wants me to be. I'm going to let my doing in front of you be consistent with my being in terms of what God has made me. Now for Moses, God provides 3 miracles to influence his crowd. I mean, kind of neat things. It's even kind of funny if I had time to get into it in terms of the words that are used here. But just imagine that God, asked a miracle to be done where your staff gets thrown down and it's a snake and then you run from your own miracle. You know, it's like Moses running away scared from the snake is a little funny. And it's even funny the words that are used here, because God says, grab hold of it, like with a confident grab. And it's almost like the words that are used is Moses like touches it with his fingers just about. He doesn't grab it with a lot of confidence. But then God provides the miracle and Moses has more confidence. The leprosy, certainly was a dreaded disease of that time. But God heals him in terms of that. And the water from the Nile is really a precursor to what God will do in Egypt. But here are 3 things that, now Moses is a little more confident going before people. I mean, he is now willing and able to face the people that would ultimately change what he would do because of these miracles. But what about for us? What does God tell us in terms of our relationship to people and them affecting us in negative ways? Well, ultimately, Jesus prepares us by saying, you just have to know the people are going to be against you. You just have to know that the world is going to hate you in the same way they hated me. So don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when all of a sudden you want to say something that's godly, or you want to talk about Jesus, or you want to share your faith, or you want to even be righteous or joyful before them. Don't be surprised if people come to you with a negative response. In fact, I would even say this, because Moses is talking about going to his people, effectively he's going to believers, we can't even expect believers to be on the same page as us. You know, I say this to leaders oftentimes. When you have a vision for a ministry, you can't expect other people to have your vision. They're not going to have your passion. You know, you have a certain giftedness where you're a servant or you're a giver or you're an evangelist. And you look at other people and you say, why aren't other believers doing what I do? Because you've got the spiritual gift, dummy. You're empowered by God to do that. You have a passion for that that's different from everyone else. So don't get discouraged. Don't get frustrated by other believers, but again, you just do what is consistent with God has made you to be. And as we all do that and we fit together as a body, that's like really neat when that happens. But again, let's move on to verses 10 through 12, where we're going to see Moses ultimately questioning his ability. He goes from questioning what are people going to think about me, and then really, what do I think about myself? Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? It is not I, the Lord. Now go, I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. You know, it's it makes a lot of sense, again, that Moses and us would be intimidated by the Christian life. would kind of be overwhelmed by it. Again, when you think about what God has called us to do in the way that of how He's created us, you know, whether it's even just simple obedience, or maybe it's applying ourselves to the disciplines of the Christian life, or maybe just dealing with difficult people, or, you know, then on top of that, to talk about a call to a ministry or something special that God is calling to us, you know, again, it's okay if you look at that and say, I can't handle it. Because again, that's what we're asked to expect. In other words, you've heard me say this before, and you even have heard it from other people as well, that if we could handle the Christian life, what would we need God for? In fact, God says He puts His treasure in jars of clay so that the all-surpassing power would be from Him and not us. So you can never look at something where God is calling you to do something, or your own obedience or whatever, and say, well, I can't do that. Well, you're not supposed to be able to do that. See, we're going to see you are supposed to be able to choose. You are able to, and you will need to express your will. But as far as accomplishing it, see, that's where God comes in. And ultimately, God is saying to Moses, you know, I have an exciting opportunity for you. Because won't it be neat if you kind of go on the limb, understanding that you're slow of speech? Because naturally, Moses, I knew that about you when I called you. And if I thought that that was a problem that I couldn't handle, I wouldn't have called you in the first place. So now what I'm saying, Moses, I understand very well that you are that type of person. So won't it be neat to have God speak through you? Won't it be neat, Moses, to be before Pharaoh or your people and go, and then words come out, exactly what you're supposed to say? See, that's the opportunity God is giving to us. See, so rather than our insecurities and our fears being a reason not to do what God has made us, it actually should be a positive motivation for us to do it. Because it's the only place we'll connect with the power of God. See, the exciting part of the Christian life isn't doing what you're able to do. The exciting part of the Christian life is having God do things through you that you can't do. But what does that mean? That means we face our insecurities. We have this conversation with God. Well, God, don't you realize who you're dealing with here? And He says, yes, I do. And then you say, I'm going to plod through anyways. I'm going to do this thing that makes me uncomfortable. I'm going to do this thing that I can't accomplish on my own. But again, it's because, God, I sense you calling me. I sense a conviction in my heart. I sense a need even that's out there. And so therefore, rather than letting these fears that Moses is talking about that we can understand, we be by virtue of what God has made us, we should press on and move forward. But look, Moses is something else. I mean, the people that God chooses is something else. Look at verse 13. But Moses said, oh Lord, please send someone else to do it. I mean, talk about the hubris or stupidity of a person. You know, here's the Lord Almighty. He's just performed three miracles for you. He turned a staff into a snake. You picked it up and turned back into a staff. I mean, he turns your hand leprous and He heals it. You take out some water and He pours it out. And it's, well, maybe He didn't, because that would be the Nile. Maybe He didn't actually do that miracle. He just promised that. But anyways, still two neat things that happen. And then you go to that God and say, you know something, could you send someone else? Then the Lord's anger burns. You kind of can understand that, right? In other words, gah! You know, that's godly anger. That's not anger like us, like God is. Again, He's a self-sufficient one. But the anger burning against Moses, and He said, what about your brother, Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words, you shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take the staff in your hand so you can perform miraculous signs with it. You know what's neat here in terms of just noticing is that God, in spite of letting Aaron be the one that's speaking, He's not letting Moses off the hook. And He's saying, you're still going to be the one that tells Aaron what to say. And it's almost going to be like you're God to him. So therefore, you're still going to be my man. You're still not going to avoid the call on your life that I have for you. But all of this together, tells us, reinforces to us, that we're never going to be able to avoid choosing the Christian life. Again, when it comes to that whole aspect of our doing matching our being, it is always going to involve our will. I mean, it's even, again, when you think of those words, sad, confusing, and difficult. See, when you understand what God has made us, the fact that we have a new nature, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we have the conviction of the Word, we have a transforming work that's happening in our hearts to make us think differently, as well as resonate with the new nature that He's made us to be. I mean, the whole of Scripture is kind of speaking to us, as saying, when your doing doesn't match your being, it just doesn't make sense. But again, whether it's people that mess that up, whether it's our own insecurities mess that up, or here we have our wills messing it up, and the fact that we just don't choose. And again, what we have to be reminded of, what we have to expect, is that God is always going to make us choose. God is never going to empower us to the point where we will be able to escape that. See, because if God could make us do something, then we would be robots. And robots cannot bring glory to God, because there's nothing special about God making robots. See, God will always accomplish His plan. You remember when Jesus, He's walking down the road and people are praising Him and the Pharisees kind of attack Him and say, don't. He says, you know something? If I told these people to be quiet, the rocks and stones themselves would cry out and sing. They would speak and praise the name of God. But you know something? If God did it that way, He would not be as glorified. Because when a donkey has to stop Balaam, rather than Balaam stopping himself, that's just God using an unaware, unintelligent, unchoosing animal and making him doing what he wants him to do. But when God can come up and influence us to say, yes, I want to cooperate with you, God, see, that's better. That's more glorifying to God. And so that's why we will never avoid having to choose what is right. See, this really speaks to, I think, maybe the things we struggle with. Maybe that sin that so easily besets us. Those things that we go before God and say, God, can't you just take this away? And you know what God says? I can't, not ultimately. That there has to be a place where you choose, where you say, yes, I'm willing to go with you, God. And really, isn't this reflective of what Paul says in Romans 7? The things I want to do, those are the things I don't do. The things I don't want to do, those are the things I do. That we can just expect that that's going to be a struggle. Again, when we think about our being reflected in our doing, there are a lot of things in our lives that come in and disrupt that. There's a little more in terms of chapter 18. I'll be fair to you in terms of the fact that it's about 11:30, and because if I start, I'll go too far. But the whole thought, again, though, in terms of what I believe God would have us internalize in terms of this passage, is again what God has made us and to what extent that is being reflected in what we do, what people see. Because you know something, when there's a disjuncture in that, when there's an inconsistency in that, see, not only is that a poor reflection on us and what we're doing before God, but it's a poor reflection on God and the testimony that we have for Him. So with that, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we do thank You for this time we've had. I thank You for the power that You do give us for living. I thank You that we ultimately can be different people. We can do miraculous things by virtue of our connection with You. And Father, I just pray in the coming days, in the coming weeks, that when we consider that process, when we consider the nature that we have in You being reflected out in what we do, what we say, what we think, that we would be very mindful for the things that disrupt that process, the things that we struggle with in terms of overcoming those things so that we ultimately reflect You in our lives rather than ourselves. And Father, as we see those things, we would find the power, we'd find the wherewithal, we'd find the will to choose to become the people that you're making us to be. And by virtue of that, we become a great testimony to you. We experience your power in our lives, and that we are transformed into not only the person that you want us to be, but the circumstances that you're allowed to bless us with by virtue of us lining up with your will. Father, we just thank you that we even have that possibility as mere human beings. It's all by virtue of your grace, by your Son's sacrifice. It's in His name that we do pray. Amen.